Good morning. Welcome to North Park Community Church. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning and online as well. Would you stand as we pray to begin our time of worship together? Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We just thank you that we are able to join together as your church unified to worship in freedom this morning. We just give you all of our praise, all of our adoration. We lay everything down at your feet, Lord, in expectation for you to do something new today, God. So we just give you this time. We give you all of our worship, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's worship together.
Open up the heavens, we wanna see. Yes, that was great singing. Welcome to North Park. Welcome to you online who are joining us. My name is Jacob. I am the worship arts director and interim youth director. I know that's a mouthful. I got to get used to saying that. But yeah, that is who I am. I've been here for about 4 years. You've probably seen me up here off and on or most weeks. But yeah, I love being a part of North Park, and I'm so glad to see all of you here. Welcome. If there is anybody who is new here, we have a gift for you out in the courtyard at the welcome table. Be sure that you go and get that as you're leaving today. We have a ton of announcements, and I'm not going to be able to get to all of them. You can find them here in the bulletin. The other thing that you can find in the bulletin is our communication card, and that will help us with a lot of different things. One of them, you can send our, you can send your prayers and praises into us. And we actually, as a staff, we pray for them every week. So you can be rest assured that every time you send us a prayer request, we pray specifically for that. Another thing that you can do with this communication card is you can put your tithes and offerings in it, seal it up, and then as you're leaving, you can put it in the boxes towards back by the exits, and we'll take care of that. Now, okay, there are three different announcements that I really do want to make sure everybody knows about. We are having Wednesday night classes. We've been saying that for a while, and we're going to keep saying that because we want everybody to come. Sign up online. If you haven't come yet, that's fine. Sign up online and come. We would love to have you. We have stuff for infants, teenagers, adults, anywhere in between, and we would love to see you here on Wednesdays. We also have today a Meet the Staff lunch. If you are new to North Park or just want to get to know us a little better on staff, definitely show up for that. It's right after this service across the way, I think in 202. Join us if you want to meet the staff a little bit more. The other thing that we want to share is we have a young adults meeting tonight. They are going to be meeting at Me and Ed's again on Maple and Beheimer from 6:30 to 8 for food and fellowship. We'd love to see this this group grow. So if you have friends, show up with your friends. There's always pizza available at Me and Ed's, so bring as many as you can. We'd love to see just that gets so big that we have to find a new venue for you guys. All of this, and there's more in your bulletins, and you can also find this online at northparkchurch.org. Please stay connected with us. Check that out. Visit. We have an app also. Let's get connected. Let's be a part of this community together, and let's live life together. Speaking of that, let's take a moment, stand up as we continue in our worship, and just greet somebody who you did not come to church with this morning. Join me in worship again.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to at his voice, trembles at his voice.
How great,
how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Thank you.
direct your attention to the screens.
What if we were known more for what we love instead of what we hate? Would that make a difference? What if we spent more time loving people and less time being angry with them? Would that make a difference? What if we gave unconditionally of our time, our talent, and our treasures? Would that make a difference? What if we shared the difference Jesus has made in our lives and stopped pushing away those who aren't there yet? Would that make a difference? What if we walked in the steps of our Savior, sitting with the broken, caring for the poor, loving the lost? Would that make a difference? We live in the midst of ruins, surrounded by brokenness, pain, and loss. It's a moment made for us, a calling we were created to answer, not with judgment, not with harsh words or self-righteousness, but with love, the love of Jesus. What if the church acted like the church? Would that make a difference?
What if we embraced and chose to live out the amazing love of Jesus every single day? What if we made that choice, that not only as a church, but as individual Christians? How much different would things be? Somebody made a comment to me recently, and I thought their comment was out of context, that it was completely ungrounded, it was even inappropriate, but it kind of hit me in a sideways way. How many of you know that sometimes somebody can say something to you and it doesn't come across right or even correct, but there's some truth in it? My mother used to say, truer words were never spoken by falser teeth. And that's kind of what this is. It was one of those statements to me the other day. And so this is the statement they made. They said, why does it always have to be about you? I thought, ouch, that hurt. You know, we all have things in our lives, feelings, opinions, prejudices, desires, priorities, busyness, frustrations, emotions, wrong beliefs, blind spots, weariness, and even responsibilities that cause us to act and react from selfishness rather than from love. I'll ask the question again. What if we embrace the amazing love of Jesus Christ and chose to live it out every single day? Remember last week, last Sunday morning, we were talking about how Jesus' teaching got challenging, it got hard to understand. For some, it felt as if it was burdensome. So many people turned their backs on Jesus and deserted him. And remember, Jesus turned to his disciples, said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, no, we're not. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You are our only hope. But after this happened, immediately the religious leaders begin to attack Jesus and begin to plot against him. Some of you will remember this. There was a famous politician that said some years ago, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by this is an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. That's the way the Pharisees viewed this time with Jesus. His disciples had questions. Many people who had been following him abandoned him. Jesus was getting criticized, and the Pharisees were not going to let this go to waste. They thought, this is our chance to get in there and to stir up trouble. This is our chance to get the people to turn against Jesus. This is our opportunity to prove that he's just a heretic and that he's not preaching the truth, and then we can get rid of him. But at this point, instead of lashing out, Jesus demonstrated amazing love. First of all, he demonstrated amazing love with an act of amazing love. John 8, verses 1 to 11 tells us this story. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love. Your amazing love for each and every person in this room today and each and every person on the face of the globe today. And Lord, I just pray today that we will encounter your amazing love and that we will respond to that in a way to where we're able to not only live our best life now, but where we're able to have an impact on others' lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last week, we saw Jesus associating with a Samaritan woman by the well. Remember the story? His disciples left him there. They're in Samaria, and they left him there to rest while they went to get food, and a woman came out to the well to draw water. And Jesus entered into conversation with her. This was scandalous. There were three reasons why Jesus shouldn't have been talking to this woman. Number one, she was a Samaritan, and the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They didn't associate with each other. The Jews thought they were superior to the Samaritans and looked down on them always. Jews never spoke with Samaritans. Secondly, she was a woman. In those days, a man didn't talk to a woman unless she was a part of his family. And number three is she was a sinner. She was even isolating herself from her community because of her sinful life, the life she had lived. In fact, that's one of the things I think is coolest when we read about the life of Jesus. Jesus's number one criticism from people was who he hung out with. He hung out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes and political zealots, rebels. He hung out with people that other people wouldn't associate with. He hung out with people that good people weren't supposed to associate with. But he hung out with them and he loved them. And Jesus is the same today. Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Jesus loves everyone. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. So this week, we're confronted by another woman who was rejected by most. And this woman who was caught in adultery. By law, she should have been stoned to death. That was a sin that was punishable by death. And that's the way they put them to death back then. And I love this story because they bring Jesus in front of them and they're trying to trick Jesus into saying something that will cause people to turn against him. But he doesn't do it. What's he do? He says, "Let you who have not sinned cast the first stone." How many of you know you readily recognize you've sinned in your life? We all have, haven't we? We all have had, we've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I love the fact in this story, it says, beginning with the oldest, then down to the youngest, they begin to drop the stones that they were going to hurl at this woman. They dropped them to the ground and they walked away. Why is that? It's because older people are smarter than young people. So don't, no. Older people have had more time to rack up all these sins and all these regrets and all these mistakes in their lives. And they realized that they weren't without sin. Somebody came up to me and reminded me what the former pastor here, Dave Gable, used to say. He used to say when Jesus stooped down and he was riding in the dust. Now, this is not biblical, so don't say this is. Dave Gable used to say he was writing all their girlfriends' names on the ground. Because they were just as guilty. But they dropped these stones and they walked away. And Jesus says, man, so who's here to condemn you? Well, nobody. I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more. Now that go and sin no more is something that we overlook sometimes. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can take the grace of God, we can take the forgiveness of Jesus, we can take that lightly and take it for granted. But what did Jesus say? Basically, he says, your sins are forgiven. Nobody's holding this against you, but go and don't do it again because you know that that's wrong to do. But this account represents two really extremely important truths. Number one, there's nothing that we or any human being has ever done or is currently doing that makes them or makes me irredeemable. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, period, end of story. There may be some of you here who think with all the things I've done in my life, maybe you're thinking with the stuff that I'm doing in secret now, with the stuff that's going on in my life, there is no way that Jesus can forgive me. There's no way that he will ever forgive me. That's not Jesus talking to you. That's our enemy who prowls around like a lion seeking for people to destroy talking to you. You are redeemable. Jesus already died for you. He already provided forgiveness for you on a cross. Bible says while we were yet sinners, he came and he went through the things that he did so that we could find forgiveness in our lives. Nobody is unredeemable. We also need to realize that when we look at the lives of others. We live in a day when people are quick to judge others. They're quick to judge those who believe differently than they do, who think differently than they do, who look differently than they do, who are a part of a different political party than they are, and whose skin color is different than theirs. And we can go on and on and on. Friends, Jesus came and died for everybody. Everybody is redeemable. Everybody. And Jesus died so that everybody could accept him and become a part of his family. Second thing we see here is we see that we too now need to treat others with the same kind of love, hope, and promise that Jesus treated us with. And that Jesus treated people, this woman caught in adultery with. What if we embrace the amazing love of Jesus Christ and we live that out every moment of day? What if? How would things be different? Second thing that happened here is Jesus demonstrated his amazing love with a loving proclamation. Listen to this from John 8, 12 to 20. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you don't know this about me. You judge me from human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Where is your Father? They ask. Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. Jesus offers himself as the light of the world. And that light brings us to life. It enables us to live the best life that we could possibly live. I like light. I live with a mole. Mary Ellen likes it dark. And we have this little game we play is I'll go into the kitchen, I'll turn on the big bright light, and she'll follow behind me and she'll turn it off. And I turn it back on. If you look at our house at night from outside the windows, it looks like the 4th of July. It's just, I mean, the lights are going. But I like to be able to see things. I like, any of you ever tried to maneuver around at night with no lights on in your house? You ever stubbed a toe? You ever fallen over anything? I never forget one time I was heading down the stairs and I thought I was at the bottom step, but there was really two more. And I stepped off into nothing, boom. I laid there, back when I used to do ski patrol, they say give somebody a body assessment. I was giving myself a body assessment, laying there at the bottom of the stairway. Thank God I was all right. That's before we had hardwood floors, thank God. But Jesus wants us to live in the light. And there's an amazing principle that comes with living in his light. And that has with what we do with our lives. This is an amazing Jesus principle that if we try to hang on to our life, we'll lose it. In other words, if we try to live just for me and my selfish motives and what I want in life, we're going to lose our life. We're never going to find fulfillment. We're never going to be satisfied. You get a Rolling Stones song, I can't get no satisfaction. That's kind of how we go through life when we try to live just to please ourselves. But he says, if we give our lives away, then we will gain life. Not only eternally, but that's when we're able to live the best life we can live this side of heaven. If you want to read about that, you can go to Matthew 16, 25, Mark 8, 35, Luke 9, 25, or Luke 9, 17 to 33. And that's where that verse comes from. I love that Jesus points out here that he's the light of the world, and it is he and he alone that can spare us from walking in darkness. How do we walk in darkness besides living with Mary Ellen? How else do we walk in darkness in our life? We walk oftentimes in the darkness of sin. What is sin due to? Sin makes us callous. Sin makes us feel guilty. Sin makes us feel miserable, and as we walk in sin, we're never satisfied. It's dark. It's miserable. It's unpleasant to live that kind of life. We can also walk in the darkness of ignorance. I love the fact that Jesus said he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, and one reason he sent his Holy Spirit is so that we could understand. We can understand his words. We can understand the kind of life that he wants to live. We can understand his truth. And if we don't accept the light of Jesus, we can walk in the darkness. And this may actually be worst of all. We walk in the darkness of purposelessness. We have no purpose in life. We have no meaning in life. We try to find satisfaction in different things. We go from one high to another. We go from one experience to another. Sometimes, a lot of times, people just give up and they don't do anything. It's like they quit living altogether. But Jesus is the light of the world. He wants to illuminate his truth and his goodness to us. He also points out here that he can help us view life from a spiritual perspective rather than purely a human perspective. He said to the Pharisees, "You judge me from a human perspective. And that's because you don't know the truth like I know the truth." Remember, we've talked about this a lot over the last several years around here about this, but everything in our life is spiritual. Part of our problem is we compartmentalize things. Well, this is my private life. This is my family life. This is my work life. This is my recreation life. And this over here, this is my spiritual life. When the truth is, as followers of Christ, everything is spiritual. It should have an impact. The fact that we have a relationship with Christ should have an impact on every decision that we make every single day. We make decisions all the time. We don't think of them as be spiritual, but sometimes somebody gets on your nerves. And you can say, well, I'm going to lie. Am I going to lash back at this person or am I going to bite my tongue? Am I going to get in a fight with my spouse or am I just going to ignore that this happened? Am I going to tell my boss off and quit my job, or am I just going to let it go? And when we see things from a spiritual perspective, rather than an emotional one, rather than from a human perspective, everything is different. Let me ask you this question. Do any of you have somebody in your life that just bugs you to death? Come on. You see him coming, and the hair on the back of your neck stands up. You know, there are people like that in this world that bother us. But if we would treat them from a spiritual perspective rather than a human perspective, we would avoid an awful lot of conflict and arguing and trouble and resentment and hatred and all of those things in life. Everything is spiritual. And it's all spiritual because God is our creator. God is our redeemer. God is our source of wisdom. God is our provider. God is our miracle worker. God is our giver of wisdom, plus so much more. Therefore, everything is spiritual. So when Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees, first of all, he acted out an amazing act of love for the woman. Then he gave a loving proclamation. And then Jesus demonstrated his amazing love with a warning. How many of you know that giving somebody a warning is oftentimes the most loving thing that we can do? How many of you either have children at home this age or you did at one point a child who just gets a driver's license? Anybody? What do you say before they be careful? Don't text and drive. Make sure you stop. Don't try to run a yellow light. Don't have friends in the car that are going to distract you. I remember when I first started to drive, some of you might remember this, that cars had these things called radios. Just radios. And if you wanted any other kind of sound in your car, you had to put it in. So I had an 8-track machine put in my car. Anybody remember 8-tracks? Oh yeah, you gotta love the 8-track. But they had to put it in my glove compartment. So if I was gonna change 8-tracks or whatever, driving down the road, I'd have to lean over and open the glove compartment and mess with the 8-tracks over there in the glove compartment. My parents used to warn me, Bob, do not fool with the 8-track machine while you're driving. They knew that, I did anyway, but warnings, they warned me. Why did they warn me? They warned me because they loved me. That's why. We would go somewhere. My father was funny. He was, every time we would drive somewhere, it was like, he just knew that it was an end-of-life experience. And he would warn me, especially when we go. I mean, Mary Ellen and I are married, and we're going to go up to Tahoe and go skiing for a few days or something. My father, oh, be careful. Those roads are treacherous. And he'd tell me all about it. Why did he do that? He did that because he loved me, and he cared about me. Well, Jesus cares about us, and so Jesus demonstrated his amazing love here with a warning. John 8:21-30. It says, later Jesus said to them, I am going away. You will search for me, but will die in your sin. You cannot come where I am going. The people ask, is he planning to commit suicide? What does he mean? You cannot come where I am going. Jesus continued, you are from below, I am from above. You belong to this world, I do not. That is why I said that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. Who are you? They demanded. Jesus replied, the one I have always claimed to be. I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't. For I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. But they still didn't understand that he was talking about his Father. So Jesus said, when you lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I did nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus warns about coming judgment. Jesus warns people about what is to come, but he also tells them how they can avoid judgment. Jesus warns us that without his forgiveness, we will die in our sin and be condemned to an eternal death in hell. Jesus warns us that we must believe in him, for he is our only hope. I love this story of the gospel. God created us. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell. They sinned. They turned against God. Sin, from that point on, has separated us from God. But God, in his amazing love, he's all holiness. He's all righteousness. He's all perfection. He has to judge us for our sins. But he came up with an amazing solution. He sent Jesus Christ to die in our place, to die for our sins as a substitute for us so that we don't need to. And so Jesus is warning them here. He's saying, don't try to live your life without me. Don't die without me. Don't be separated from me. But truly put your faith and your trust and your hope in me. How many of you have ever gone for a long walk, especially on a hot day? You know, you go on a long walk on a hot day, and by the time you reach my age and you get home, you think, man, my feet hurt. My knees are stiff. My lower back. I gotta get off this thing. And you walk in and there's your chair. And you say, I believe that if I sit in this chair, I'm gonna feel so much better. I'm gonna have relief. I'm gonna feel better. Life is gonna be better. I may even go to sleep and have a nap. I am so stinking tired. That chair doesn't mean no good. If I believe it's going to feel good, if I believe it's going to help me, until I trust it completely and I put all my weight on it and I sit completely in it, that's how Jesus wants us to trust in him. He wants us to believe that he's our only hope, that he's our only source of strength, that we can't find relief and we can't find rest without resting in him. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, a lot of times we don't live the best life that we can live because we allow things in our lives to become a frenzy. But instead, if we put all of our hope, all of our faith, all of our trust in Jesus Christ, we could know that rest that only he can give. Does that mean he's going to take everything away? No. No, does that mean things are going to become perfect? No. But it means that in Jesus, we can endure everything with a peace and a love and a hope in our heart that never existed before. And I kind of like this sitting up here speaking. I may do that more. That's because my knees and my back. I'm getting a couple weeks ahead of us here, but I want to share a scripture to wrap this up that is so timely for today. John 14:6. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We must never forget that Jesus came to love us, and he loves you. I know some of you here don't feel lovable today. You don't feel loved today. You don't feel like you're worthy to be loved today. But Jesus came to love you. Jesus came to forgive you. He came to forgive us. He came with that purpose in mind so that he could die on a cross for our sins. Jesus came to be our light, illuminating our way. Jesus came to warn us and give us a way out of impending judgment. And Jesus is calling us, his people, to do the same. Just think, what if we, the church, what if we, as individual Christians, what if we embraced and lived out the amazing love of Jesus Christ every day? What a difference it'd make. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love. Lord, we thank you that you loved us more than we could ever understand, and that compelled you to come and to give your life for us. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're doing. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight. I'm confident that there's not one of us here who doesn't have a what if in our life. What if we loved you more completely? What if we loved others more completely? What if we cared about those who are different than us the way that we should? What if we decided to help people who are in need? What if? What if? Lord, I just invite you to speak to me and to speak to each one of us about those what ifs in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will lead us, that you will guide us on the path of your amazing love so that we can live the best life we can live now, so that we know we'll live the absolute best life for all of eternity. And Lord, so that we can make a difference in our journey through this earth. In your name we pray. I just want you to keep your heads bowed for a minute. If you're at home watching or you're in this room, and you would say, Bob, I need to know this forgiveness. I need to experience this forgiveness that Jesus has provided for me, that you talked about today. And I'd like to invite him into my life. I'd like to embrace that love. If that's you today, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. You can raise it at home as well. Jesus, you know our hearts. You know our needs better than we do. You know our spiritual condition better than we do. You know where we need to repent of sin of our life, and we need to turn to you and walk the other way. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will show us those things today and that we'll respond to you this very day. We won't try to wait, but we'll respond to you today and to your call in our lives. Now I wonder how many of us are here to say, and you'd say, Bob, I'm a what-ifer. I got a lot of what-ifs in my life, but I don't want a what-if anymore. I want to experience the amazing love of Jesus, and I want to share that love with others. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray. Jesus, you know us. You see us. And Lord, I just pray that we will know your love today and that we will know your love this week as we never, ever, ever have before. And Lord, might it compel us to be dispensers of that love to everyone we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing one final worship song? Remember, if you are new to North Park or relatively new, been here a while, and you'd like to meet the staff, we're having lunch in room 202 right after this service. Please join us.
See?